Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Bill and Joanne.
Amen.
You know, as Bill said, what a way to start as a church 2021. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You know, you all know by now the word that the Lord gave me for myself and the church in this coming year is the word closer. But I need to, you know, God always beckons us to become close to Him. But we have to be willing to embrace that and move towards Him. A couple in-house things before I start my message is, you know, we're not meeting in person. If, you know, I'm forgiving, we have a website you can go and give there. You can mail it to 51 East Oneida, your tithes and offerings, or drop them in our mail slot on the Oneida Street exit. Thank you. On January 17th, we will be back in the sanctuary meeting in person. We have one more week remotely. They are finishing the sanctuary. Looks incredible, but you know how that works. They finish the job, and yeah, we have a small leak that we're trying to get taken care of, but it looks incredible. We're excited by that. They're going to finish it probably the end of next week, and that will give us a week to get everything back together. One change that we have made due to talking to different health officials about COVID-19 contact tracing is we are going to require masks the whole time that you're in the building from now on once we start on January 17th. So that means even when you sit down, I hear you now, y'all saying amen and hallelujah. That's a great thing because it ain't about us. It's about Jesus. You know, I'm going to do a series in the beginning of the year, and I'm going to call it Guarding Your Faith. And I really, you know, we need to get serious about this because one of the things I've seen in the last year, there's a lot more chatter out there in the Christian realm about are we in the end times, yada, and all that, you know, and we just got to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. We got to purpose ourselves to draw closer to Him. And one of the things I'm going to be emphasizing is the mirror of God. And what the mirror of God is this. You know, does God speak to us in different ways? He speaks to us when we pray. He speaks to us. But I'm going to say one thing. I remember years ago talking to Paul Wagner. He's the pastor who started New Covenant Community Church in the 70s. And I remember him telling me, you know, Dick, God speaks to me through His Word. I know people hear audible voices, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, God speaks to me through His Word. So we can't take this word of God lightly. We have to devour it every day just to let God speak to us and minister to us. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." That last part, it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And what that means is when I'm thinking stuff, when I'm looking at things, if I have an attitude and I look in God's word and it says, don't live that way, then guess what? I'm in sin if I keep giving myself the freedom to live that way. So I'm just going to ask you, no matter, you know, where you are with the Lord, make the Bible a more important part of your daily life. Now, moving to today's message, it's called Fight the Good Fight of Faith. I'm going to be speaking from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. Paul writes to Timothy, "But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." You know, for contextual background, in this letter, Paul is talking to Timothy about false teachers. And in the previous part of chapter 6, he's talking about their greed, their love of money, and their self-proclaim. So he's saying, flee from all of this. Verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession to the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, who no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. You are speaking. I pray you would give us ears to hear, Lord, that we would hear what you are speaking to us, that we would take our faith seriously, that we would guard it, Lord, that we wouldn't allow things in that you'd ask us and back to tell us not to, Lord. Father, I pray that we would get intentional about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that with each passing moment, we draw closer to when you return. We don't know when that is, Lord, but we know that for today, we're to draw close to you. In your name, amen. The beginning of a new year always has an emphasis on newness. As I've been praying about our church, I've been praying about what does God want? I pray that for my life. And the thing that I continually hear is God wants us to draw closer to him. You know, I've told this story before, but bear with me. Years after I got saved, in fact, I was pastoring up north. I went back to Morrisville, New York, where I'm from, for a good friend of mine's mother had passed away. I hadn't seen him for a while. I hadn't seen his father since high school. And then he finds out I'm a pastor. Well, my friend's father's also a Christian. So he sits me down at the reception. Okay, let's talk about the tribulation. Are you pre-trib, post-trib? And I said, I don't care trib. And he looked at me, and I think he's getting some stones to throw at me. I said, because the Bible tells me to live each day for Jesus Christ. Yes, we're to know the day and the seasons, but I'm not going to worry about tomorrow because, you know, God kind of tells us not to. I said, I'm living right now for Jesus. And he accepted that. What I want to talk about today, please let us understand that who we are and what we do represents Jesus Christ to those around us. I had a few different messages going on this week, but at the beginning of this week, I heard about a well-known Christian leader that has a very public ministry that is under investigation for sinful behavior. I read a release from his ministry which says they hired somebody to look into it, and it looks like in part at least it's true. And to be honest, it broke my heart. This is somebody that I quote frequently. And it made me realize we're all so able to fall victim to temptation. And just how important it is that we stay close to Jesus Christ. That we need to understand, and I'm going to look at Timothy. I'm not going to talk necessarily about the love of money, even though that is a temptation. I'm not going to talk about false teaching. But what I am going to talk about is we have to understand that each one of us will face temptation, and you're vulnerable. We can never say, I'd never do that, because, yeah, you would. You know, we could look and say, you know what, if I was Peter, I wouldn't have denied Jesus three times. That's probably true. You would have done it four times. God says, you know, what I want to say today is, let my life glorify Jesus Christ. You know, and the first point that I want to talk about is, We need to know when to flee. And in verse 11, Paul says to Timothy, hey, man of God, flee from all this. Flee from temptation. Flee from the love of money. What is he saying? Flee from the desires of this world. Yes, as a Christian, we know all the things. We are in this world, but not of it. But the fact of the matter is, that's hard to live. You know, spiritual warfare attacks all of our weaknesses. You know, there's some things that really you struggle with that I'm going to not worry about, but there's things I struggle with that you don't. And one of the things I do see in the church is there is a love of money. And there's a love of we want to be comfortable. Are we willing for Jesus Christ to be uncomfortable? Are we willing for Jesus Christ to sacrifice? And when I say this year we're to get closer to God, that means, you know what? I got to surrender my life to God. I got to surrender everything that I have, my family, my finances, my time, and say, God, what is it? This is all yours. And one of the problems is that I see so many times is we give ourselves too much credit. We get too close to the fire. We think, well, you know what? I can get a little bit closer. I can handle this. But each step you take closer to the line, you're getting sucked in. It's kind of like your thought life. If you say, well, you know what? This is an innocent thought. We all know where it's going to go. We all know that once we open that door a little bit, the enemy is going to suck us in. Sometimes we give ourselves way too much grace, and we don't understand the danger we're in. There's a song from years ago, I can't remember, I think I know who sings it, but you know, it's a slow fade. It's not like all of a sudden you see, like, for example, this person in this ministry, let's say they did fall into sin. It's not like they woke up one morning and said, I'm going to sin. But what they did is maybe they developed things in their life that they cut themselves some slack when they shouldn't have, and little by little, they give themselves way too much freedom. The time when I'm a young Christian, I'm a senior in college and I'm married, and I'm hearing Paul Wagner speak about Christians got to learn to stay out of the places of darkness. We go back to Morrisville the following weekend, and you know, we go. I said I wanted to go to this bar, and Mel said, no, you heard what Pastor Paul said. I said, I'm just drinking Coke. And you know what? Within a half hour, I'm not drinking Coke. I'm playing pool. I'm swearing like a truck driver. And I realize, I'm not coming against bars, but what I'm saying is I gave myself way too much freedom as a young Christian, and I went down the wrong path. And God is telling us we need to protect our relationship with Him. You know your weaknesses, and you need to stay away from them. You know, as I've said here a lot of times, one of my weaknesses is my language. So I stay away from movies where I know there's a lot of bad language because I don't want to drop my glasses someday when I'm preaching and say, oh, blankety blank, as I go to pick them up. That really wouldn't look too good. But do I know that I have that capability? Hello. Matthew 5:30 says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. We're not asking you to cut off any appendages or arms or anything. But I'm telling you, if you have a problem with a computer, maybe you need to get rid of it. If you have a problem with your phone, maybe you need to get rid of it. If you have a problem with your credit card, maybe you need to get rid of it. It's like a few years back, my doctor talked to me. I had some health stuff where I had to change my diet, which needs to happen again. But what I found I had to do is I had to cut off my right hand. I couldn't keep that stuff in the closet. Now, I got a friend of mine. They're amazing. They probably still have Easter candy from last year. I'm lucky if my Easter candy makes it till Easter. So I wanted to make that change in my eating habit, but if it's in my house, I'm going to fail. So I don't do that. Gluttony, hello, is a sin. so I don't have it in the house when I'm not supposed to. What is it in your life that God is telling you to get rid of? Years ago when my daughter was young, the Lord spoke clearly to me. I want you to get rid of your TV. So I did what any mature Christian would do. I ignored that. Because you can't watch basketball if you don't have a TV. So for a long time, I ignored it. And I had a young daughter. My daughter was a toddler at the time, and she was really struggling with stuff. And, you know, it was nightmares, et cetera, et cetera. We have prayed for. Somebody came up afterward and says, you know what you're supposed to do, don't you? And they didn't know what they were talking about. It's a prophetic word. I went home and I sold my stinking TV for 2.5 years till the Lord allowed us to have one again. And again, I'm not speaking against TV. The Bible says whatever God tells you not to do, if you do it, it's sin. God told me I had an unhealthy relationship watching so much sports, etc. I needed to give it up. As long as I said no, I had to get rid of my right hand because it was causing me to sin. It's so much better to give up something we value than to fall slave to sin. Why did Jesus say to the rich young ruler, sell everything you have, then come follow me? It's not wrong to have stuff, but he had a sinful relationship. His idol was his money. What do you have, if you have anything, that you place before God? That's what we need to pray about. I know this fully goes against what our culture tells us, but we need to know when to flee. And in a little while, I'm going to talk about some practical steps we can take. The second thing I want to talk about is, you know how to protect, we need to know how to protect ourselves. Verse 14 in 1 Timothy 6 says, keep this command without spot or blame. Now, you know what? Am I forgiven? Yes, because God's a gracious God. But as Romans says, it doesn't mean we can then sin so God's grace is exhibited. It means I have to live perfectly as much as I possibly can. There is so many false teachings on grace in the church today, it's sickening. Hey, Timothy, keep this command without spot or blame. Hey, New Covenant, you need to keep God's word without any spot or blame to the best of your ability. Will you indeed fall? Of course. But don't let yourself fall. Don't accept your falling. Go to God, repent, get up, and move forward. You got to know how to fight the good fight. We need to pray, and you need to know the Bible. When Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, how did he come against the devil? He knew the word of God. Don't let the Bible be an occasional part of your life. Try to read part of it every day. I'm not saying it legalistically. Do I read the Bible 365 days a year? I do not. But I try to make it a daily part of my life so that I can be strengthened. And we started today's meeting. Bill read a psalm. How powerful it is to have God draw us in by hearing his word that we embrace and opens up for us to go into worship. You know, another valuable tool is fellowship with other believers. You know, that's why one of the things that we see in the pandemic is people are depressed. People need to be together. And isolation isn't good for anybody unless Jesus calls you to be John the Baptist and you live by yourself in the wilderness. But that's a whole other story, and God gave him grace. But we need to have other people in our life. And a key thing I want to talk about today is accountability. You need to have somebody in your life that you open up your life to completely. And when I mean completely, I say completely. Now let me say this. Have it be a member of the same sex. Men shouldn't have an accountability partner with women and vice versa. You know, I love what a pastor friend of mine says. What's accountability? Who can tell you no? Who do you have in your life that can get in your face and tell you no? You know, I have a couple people in my life. You know, one of those is Pastor Wade Smith. I meet with him every week. We talk about all parts of our life. And it's not just opening up, but it's challenging one another. It's praying for one another. When we're struggling, it's texting and calling throughout the week and saying, you know what, how are you doing in this area? You can't keep on in this way. You need to grab a hold of the grace of God. And it helps me to know that every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, I'm going to meet with my friend, that we're going to talk, we're going to pray, and guess what? He's going to ask me, and I'm going to ask him some very uncomfortable questions. Spouses, maybe you're looking at your wife, maybe you're looking at your husband, and you're seeing they don't have an accountability partner. I would ask you to really encourage them to do it. But it has to be somebody who will hold them to account and will lovingly put their arm around them and at the same time kick them in the backside when needed. The thing I love about Jesus, he faced temptation. Hebrews 4:15 says, in speaking about our Lord, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." I have seen too many pastors that I know fall victim to immorality. I know church leaders have a target on their back. I have seen too many public ministries fall into sin and totally discredit what they have done for God because of some weakness. And I would say because of an unaccountability. Jesus, we have to rely on him. He understands when you're thinking the wrong thoughts. He's understanding when you're really loving what you own. That's when you got to turn to him. We have to stop allowing ourselves being in a place of mediocrity for Christ. We have to be on fire for Jesus. We need to live submitted lives. Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer me who lives, but Jesus Christ now lives in me. My life is not my own. God, what is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go?" Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to like it, but it means, yes, probably after a season of being a little angry and venting, I'm going to submit my life to God. You have to realize that your Christian testimony needs to be important to you. How you act, what you say, you know, 20 years ago, what would Jesus do? Those stupid little bracelets. Well, you know what? There's truth to that. Are you doing something you would do if Jesus Christ was sitting right next to you? We have to think that way. As a young man in 1948, Billy Graham held a conference with some Christian men in California. They talked about a list of problems that is in the evangelical community and ways to correct them. One of the highest things on the list was sexual immorality. Now, if you look at the church today and you look at our culture today when, you know, we allow gender bending, we allow homosexuality, we allow sex outside of marriage because, come on, it's 2021. Will you get with it? That's sin. We live in a culture that embraces that. But God says no. So they go, these men, and this is what, 60 years ago or more, they go and they talk about sexuality. And from that day on, Billy Graham never traveled with a woman alone. He never met with a woman alone. Nor would he dine in a public place with a woman other than his wife. Mike Pence takes ridicule, the Vice President of the United States, because he has the same thing. In fact, he won't even go to an event that serves alcohol unless his wife is with him, because he wants a good testimony. When Billy Graham traveled, he would send people into his hotel room before he entered to make sure that he wasn't being set up, that somebody was there with a woman, etc., etc. You know, I remember watching Diane Sawyer on a TV show on ABC years ago, and they interviewed Billy Graham. And they dug into his finances because they wanted to find in something that was wrong, but they had to say, you know what? He's beyond reproach. Integrity matters. And what I mean by integrity is how you act in church on Sunday morning has to be how you act the rest of the week. Integrity has to matter. What happens is when we cut ourselves slack with sin and doing what we're not supposed to do, we get convicted. But after a while, that conviction pales, and we work until we live the life of sin that we shouldn't be without the conviction of God. God gives us over to the hardness of our hearts. We have to decide. And you know what, church? It's time we got strong enough when we see our friend doing something they shouldn't that we say no to them. We need to be able to hold people accountable. I think about the words my mom gave us when our kids were young. You got to love your children enough to let them hate you sometimes. That doesn't float in the church today. We want to be liked. We want to be loved. We see our friend not doing something. Well, I'm going to pray about it. Well, maybe God is telling you, guess what? You need to be a watchman. You need to go to them and say, I love you way too much to let you continue in this life. We need to live to honor God. First point I want to make is Jeremiah 17:9. There's a friend of mine who loves this verse. The heart is deceitful above all things. Oh, I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? God can. You have to realize we're wicked people. Saved. But the old man is still being worked out as a transformation occurs. We're going to have problems. So it's not, a lot of times people are afraid to be held accountable and talk because they think they're in it alone and people are going to frown upon them. We're all dogs. Matthew 4:16. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadows of death, a light has dawned. God is saying to us today, come into my light. I want to release you. I don't know what struggles you have, but turn to God. Ask him to help you. If you need somebody to talk to, text me, email me, call me throughout the week. We're talking, we're praying, one of the elders. Get somebody that you can talk to. Isolation is when the enemy really grabs a hold of us. I was watching a John Wick movie on TV, so the language was edited out. And yes, it's a very gory movie. But I saw him take on 12 people, but he did it one at a time. See, that's what the devil does. Today we got a handful of people in the room. We're pretty safe because we got one another. But when I'm by myself, thinking by myself, the enemy attacks me, I'm weaker. And if I don't go to a brother and say, would you pray for me? Here's what I'm struggling with. I'm going to get weaker and weaker. I remember because I do deal with insecurity, one of the first times as a young Christian I had to admit something to my pastor, I thought for sure he was going to yell at me. I'm so glad he just started laughing and saying, you too, huh? It let me know we're all in this together. So man, let's go into the lightness that God has for us. You see, nobody's immune. We're all under attack. The devil attacked Jesus. Don't you think he's going to attack you? If the devil tried to tempt Christ, he's going to tempt us. You know, one of the biggest obstacles that we have is our own feelings. Man, we fall victims to allowing our lives to be guided by feelings. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't do that in the garden when he's praying, sweating blood? He said, Father, take this from me, but not your will, my will. Not my will, your will, excuse me. We have to stop falling victims to being guided by how I feel, because our feelings will not line up with the Word of God so often. And when we live on that pathway, we're moving away from God, not towards Him. Today, God is offering us a way out of the darkness into the light. It's time to confess your sin. It's time to repent, which means, God, help me. I don't want to live that way anymore. But it's time to move on. It's not time to dwell in what your sin is and how wicked you are. It's time for you to realize, I'm a child of God. I got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am in Christ. It's time to represent the way Christ wants us to represent. Stop being casual about your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, like, what did Bill say to start off? Man, he woke up with this psalm in his heart. That minute sanctuary looks fantastic, but you should see the mansion my Father has for me. That's what I look forward to. But I'm living today, getting ready for then. You need to be intentional about your faith and your growth. My question today as I close in prayer, who really knows you? If I went to the church and I said, I want you to confidentially write one name down, one person that you're accountable with, that you talk to on a weekly basis, that you talk about finances, you talk about what you watch, you talk about, I don't know, how you eat, you talk about your thought life, you talk about et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Who is it? And if you have nobody right now, you really do need to grab a hold of somebody. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm going to close us in prayer right now. Then I'll come up at the end. So Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts this morning, God. I pray that you would show us the places we need to draw closer to you. That you would show us the places in our life, Lord God, where we are being tempted in the places where we fall. I pray that you would help us to make your word and devotions to you, Lord, important to us. That we wouldn't grow casual and stale in our relationship to you and in your word, Lord God. That you would show us who to be accountable to, Lord God, so that they can walk with us as we grow in our faith, Lord Jesus. Father, let there be no condemnation due to our sin, because your word tells us there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let us rejoice, God, when you convict us, knowing that you're lovingly extending us a hand to healing. Pray that you would move in our hearts today. In your name, amen. Mm-hmm.